Shaivites and Advaitavadis believe that the Absolute is ultimately impersonal. However, the Vaishnavas say that the Absolute is ultimately a person. So is the Absolute Truth ultimately personal or impersonal? Obviously personal. How? Let us try to understand. Actually, this topic can be approached in three ways. Through Shastra Praman, evidence through Shastra, Anuman, evidence through logical inference, and Pratyaksha, evidence through direct perception. So first we'll use Shastra Praman and then use logic and finally direct perception to establish that the Absolute Truth is ultimately personal. There are both the Advaita and Dvaita interpretation for many scriptures. Advaita meaning non-difference between us and God or the Supreme, and Dvaita meaning difference between God and the Jivas. The Satvik Puranas give personal conception of the Absolute Truth, whereas the Rajasic and Tamasic generally talk about impersonal aspect, but also refers to the personal aspect at some places. Both Vaishnavas and Shaivites quote Shastra to refute each other, but most importantly, there is no Advaita interpretation for the Srimad Bhagavatam. Acharyas in Vaishnava line explained that Shankaracharya didn't dare to comment on the Srimad Bhagavatam, since it is the Amal Purana and is a culmination of all Vedic knowledge. Moreover, he also wrote Bhajagovindam and the very popular Jagannath Ashtakam, where he clearly proves the supremacy of the Absolute Truth as being personal. In the later podcast, I shall explain and present how Srimad Bhagavatam is the ultimate praman compared to all Vedic literatures, and right from the beginning to the end of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it reveals that the Absolute Truth is personal and that he is none other than Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. It is obvious that the Satvik Puranas are superior to the Rajasic and Tamasic Puranas, since goodness bestows peace, happiness and satisfaction, whereas the other two modes leads to suffering. That is why the Rajasic and Tamasic Puranas are meant for people whose spiritual consciousness is less developed. Another important point, the Padma Purana mentions about 10 offenses to the Holy Name. If the Absolute Word is ultimately impersonal, then what was the need for discussing and describing the offenses to the Holy Name? In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that he exists in both forms, personal as well as impersonal, but the personal form is superior to impersonal. This is complete aspect of the Supreme Absolute Truth, otherwise it lacks something. He also says that he sustains Brahman, and this is also observed in the material world, in which clearly one can observe the sun sustaining the sunlight, but not vice versa. Now let's use logical inference as an evidence. The most striking and important question is, why did Shankaracharya, who is pioneer of Advaita philosophy, appeared prior to the four Vaishnava Acharyas instead of after them? And most importantly, if Advaitavad was the ultimate path, then why would all the Vaishnava Acharya and also Lord Chaitanya thoroughly refute Shankaracharya's Advaitavad? Instead of refuting, they would have accepted it as another path towards the Absolute Truth. Not only that, as the four Vaishnava Acharyas appeared one after another, they refined and upgraded the philosophy of Shankaracharya until Lord Chaitanya appeared and gave the most complete and logical philosophy of Achintya Bhedabhed Tattva. This philosophy resolves all contradictions about the absolute nature of God and Jiva, and it excludes God from any kind of lacking. If we are all supposed to finally achieve the Absolute Truth in an impersonal way, then the Acharyas would have reversed the order of appearing and given us the ultimate philosophy of impersonalism at the end. Also, it is obvious that when the Absolute Truth can provide us forms, then how he cannot provide to himself? That means the Absolute Truth can't do something and therefore lacks something. Now, something really interesting. If people don't get any suffering in this world and all the relationships were perfect, then who would desire to seek liberation? Whereas everyone would prefer a place where there were perfect relations and absolutely no suffering. Imagine a place where we can reciprocate and exchange relations with the most perfect Absolute Truth in the form of person. That would be ultimate and most blissful experience, and that is the reason there is suffering in this world, so that we can turn to God and go back to Him to serve Him and extend loving relations forever without any suffering. On the other hand, if we consider the ultimate goal as impersonal, then it means that initially we suffer in this world and then finally after liberation also we live in isolation with no loving exchanges. Who would like to live in isolation for entire life? And it is an observation that exchange of relation is more blissful than living in isolation. So, is the Absolute so cruel by assigning us that kind of status forever? Absolutely no. The Advaitavad states that we are all God, but have forgotten that and can reinstate that position after attaining liberation by merging into Brahman. So the question is, if we are all God, then how did we forget that we were God? And how come we lose our potency? It means we are controlled by someone. Also, how did we come to this world in the first place? How would an impersonal truth send us here and with a purpose? These and other questions are not answered in Advaita philosophy. They are expressed in word jugglery. However, it makes perfect sense to believe that the Absolute is a personal God and wants to extend loving relations, and that is why we exist. They mention that when Brahman is covered by Maya's Vidya potency, then manifests into God. And when it is covered by Maya's Avidya potency, it manifests into Jiva. But how Brahman is covered by Maya, that is not explained. Plus, if that affects Brahman, then it means it is under the control of Maya, which can't be possible, since Brahman is Absolute Truth. So how can it be controlled or get affected by Maya? Also, Brahman is supposed to have no attributes. For complete refutation of Advaitvad, one will refer to Srila Jiva Goswami's Tattva Sandarbh, text 37 and following text. And now let us use direct perception and logical inference. Whether it is the Advaitvadis or the Dvaitvadis, all experience reciprocation of the Absolute Truth, and they advance to higher stages in their respective paths. This means that the Absolute Truth is reciprocating with both of them, and is also controlling everyone by providing them a means to come to Him. And if one does not follow, then one continues to suffer. So in a sense, these are personal attributes. If Brahman doesn't possess attributes, then how and why does Brahman have to think of everyone's welfare? And what will Brahman achieve by awarding everyone a destination of merging in itself? So by the above analysis, it is clear that Absolute Truth is ultimately a person, because although Brahman is defined as Nirguna, but the philosophy explained by the Advaitvad indirectly ascribed Brahman to a person with attributes, which is contrary in itself and is simply word jugglery. Whereas if you accept the fact that the Absolute Truth is personal, then it makes perfect sense to accept that that there is a person who reciprocates and guides us to come back to Him, so that we can forever engage in a loving relationship with Him. The purpose of Shankaracharya promoting Advaitvad was that he wanted to re-establish the Vedas, which was rejected by Buddha. Buddha promoted atheistic philosophy by promoting Nirvishesh Shunyavad, which is known as Voidism, also referred to as Nasti Nasti, which means the Absolute is nothing or void. His main goal was to stop violence to animals, because in the name of Vedic scriptures, people were killing animals for sense gratification instead of giving them a human form of life in the next life, which was actually the purpose of the Vedic scriptures, to stop sacrifice animals in order to give them new life, human form of life. So in order to stop violence to animals, Buddha temporarily had to reject the Vedas, otherwise people would have used Vedic scriptures and continued killing animals. This was all arranged and planned by the Lord, since Buddha is an incarnation of Vishnu. And that is why, in order to re-establish the authority of the Vedas, he had to send Shankaracharya, who according to Padma Purana and other scriptures is incarnation of Lord Shiva. Now let's see at the references. The Padma Purana 6.2, 36.5 to 12, Shiva explains to his wife Parvati that he will appear in the age of Kali to proclaim that the Buddhist doctrine is a false religion and illusory. He also said that he would propound the Mayavada impersonal philosophy, emphasizing the indefinable nature of the Brahman, the great impersonal spiritual force. He explained, the philosophy of Mayavada is a wicked doctrine and is a pseudo-Buddhist. In the form of Brahmana, I proclaim this doctrine philosophy in Kali Yuga. It makes the words of the holy Vedic text meaningless and is condemned in this world. In this doctrine, it recommends giving up one's duties of life in order to be free of karma, which is said to be religiousness for those who have fallen from their duties. I will propound the identity of the Supreme Soul and the individual soul to be one and the same, Brahman in nature, without qualities. O Goddess, I have conceived this Mayavad impersonal doctrine, which resembles a purport of the Vedas for deluding people in this age of Kali, to mislead them towards atheism by denying the personal form of God. This is one reference. Second reference is from Kurma Purana 1.30.33-34, states, in Kali Yuga, Shankara Nila Lohita will incarnate for the purpose of establishing rights of the Shrota, Vedic and Smarta based on Smriti scriptures, with the desire for the welfare of his devotees. He will teach his disciples the knowledge of Brahman. Another reference from the Shiva Purana also quotes the Supreme Lord ordering Lord Shiva. In Kali Yuga, mislead the people in general by propounding imaginary meanings from the Vedas to bewilder them. How the Supreme Lord ordered Lord Shiva to appear in Kali Yuga to delude atheists and produce a philosophy and text to hide the Supreme Being and to make Shiva seem superior is explained in the Padma Purana 6.71.89-116. Thus, we find in these verses confirmation that it was Lord Shiva who appeared in the age of Kali Yuga Shankaracharya at the request of the Supreme. In this way, Shankaracharya upgraded the philosophy of Buddha from Nashti Nashti, which means the absolute is nothing, to neti neti, which means the absolute is something but contains nothing. This is a very small increment in the philosophy that can hardly be noticeable and so can be easily accepted by those who are influenced by the Buddhist philosophy. Hence, it is clear from the explanations and references provided that Shankaracharya was an instrument of the Lord and was preaching to people according to their level of acceptance and understanding, which was low. Just like a student from elementary school cannot understand calculus, but understands only in higher school. Similarly, Shankaracharya uplifted people's consciousness to a degree where they can at least accept and understand the Vedic literature. I hope all these explanations helps one to accept with faith and conviction the path of personalism as supreme and the ultimate. Thank you.